Hi everyone, welcome to Dukebox. I'm Edson and today I'm with
Francis
and Lewis.
And I'll be interviewing them about the recent United States presidential election in light of Biden's win over a prolonged and deeply divisive election. And Biden's win actually marks a new beginning for America, and today we'll be discussing what it means for the nation moving forward. So Joe Biden won the electoral and popular vote for the 2020 US presidency, which clearly names him as the 46th president of the United States. But despite this, Donald Trump just continues to contest the results and claiming that he actually won the election, with his campaign even filing numerous lawsuits in states such as Pennsylvania for the late arrival of ballots there. And he continues to insist that there have been significant flaws in influencing the vote process or vote counting. And it's actually the first time in American history that a president is refusing to accept defeat and leave the White House. So I was wondering what you guys think about this and how certain do you think Biden's path to taking over the White House is?
So yeah, that's a good question. So I read somewhere that electoral officials have stated that this election was actually the safest election in American history. So Donald Trump's main argument contesting that he won the election was that Biden won due to none of his vote monitors being allowed into the counting buildings where they were counting the votes. I could understand Trump making these arguments if the election came out as very close, but in reality, Biden won by 74 points in the Electoral College, as well as by over 5.5 million people in the popular vote. So this is a clear last struggle from the former president to attempt to stay in power. So I've read articles online stating that these ballot disputes should be sorted out by the 14th of December. If, after the inauguration day on the 2nd of January, Trump continues to physically refuse to remove himself from the White House, then the FBI, as well as the Secret Service, will be forced to intervene and physically escort him off the premises.
So my question really is, why would Trump not do this? And I think people maybe, I know he's like quite a bit of an idiot, but I think people may be underestimating the fact that he's quite a clever businessman. So obviously with this last stand that I imagine he's going to have, and which we're getting sort of hints of right now, it's only going to make him more famous, as his name is just going to continue to be used in the news, which will allow him to make more money, as not only will more people want to buy his book, which I'm sure will come out in future years, but also Trump makes his money by selling his name to companies that want to use it, like Trump Tower and other things. So his name is going to become even more valuable as he becomes even more famous. But what I think is essential right now to ensure that it doesn't get out of hand and people start to genuinely believe that Trump's been robbed of this victory is that we need to ensure that fake news doesn't play as prominent a role as it did in the 2016 election, where anyone could buy targeted ads to express their own personal views, which resulted in foreign governments and key individuals getting really heavily involved, which heavily influenced the election results.
Yeah, and so like Lewis mentioned, Biden won by 5.5 million, did you say?
Yeah, that's
In the popular vote. And how much did you win by the Electoral College vote?
74 electoral points.
So that's I think that's quite a large margin, especially when you look at like specific states that he won, like some of the key states. So my question for you guys is, how do you think and why did Biden ultimately manage to secure this presidency?
I think one of these reasons why is that voter turnout was just massively up this time compared to last. It was projected that 66.8% would turn out compared to 2016, where it was just 60%. And I think this is mostly due to social media, seeing lots of ads and like influencers getting people to go vote, which I really think had a big effect. But I also think one of the reasons why Biden won was due to what happened to the African-American population. And the African-American population tend to vote for Democrats, but they've been really badly affected this year compared to everyone else in America. And I think it's 1 in 1,000 have died of coronavirus, and African-Americans have been twice as likely to lose their jobs this year. which would give them no reasons to vote for Trump if they've been, you know, screwed over by the regime. But one of the major flaws of this, like, American political system, not saying that in the UK it's any better, but you don't actually need a popular vote to win, which is something that we saw in 2016 when, despite Clinton winning the popular vote by, I think, like 5 million or something, Trump still won pretty convincingly. And this is just because it always comes down to the same key states. And again, it happened with Biden-Trump, which is Wisconsin, Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and maybe a couple others. But anyway, Trump's promises that he made, which helped him swing these states against Clinton, didn't materialize, especially in Michigan, where he promised everyone jobs, particularly those to do with the automobile industry, and these jobs never came about. So obviously people weren't going to vote for him after he lied to them, basically. And yeah, what's really interesting is that looking at a map of each state and which county voted for which candidate, you can really easily see how all the urban areas were blue and the rest was really red, which just shows how the urbanized states are really in Biden's favor.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you, Francis. I believe essentially Biden won the presidency by such a large margin by using a combination of flipping traditionally Republican states that Trump won against Hillary Clinton in 2016, as well as winning the key states that the US election often comes down to, such as Wisconsin, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. So connecting to your African-American idea that you mentioned, I would say that the Black Lives Matter movement, since it's gained such a large amount of popularity in the past months, Biden's views and supports of this gained him thousands of votes. So traditionally, candidates win by playing to their base. So this would be Trump playing to traditionally Republican states, and so for traditionally Republican states, Trump often refers to typical white identity. But in this election, when he tried to do the same thing, it seemed to be the incorrect tactic, especially following the growth in popularity of the Black Lives Matter movement. I also find it extremely interesting that in counties with over 30% of the population having college degrees, the vote ended up being 87% Democrat. So this highlights what Francis was saying about the urbanized, arguably more educated areas tending to tilt towards Democrat.
Yes, well put. I think, yeah, Francis, you talked about looking at the map of America and looking at the divide in the blue and the red states. And I think Biden actually mentioned to about like 2 weeks ago in his first address to the country, he promised to seek not to divide but to unify. And from this year's election results, it's just clear that America's such an incredibly divided country. So how challenging do you guys think it will be for Biden to ultimately reunite America?
So yeah, that's a very good question. Something that I think we've all been wondering. So following Trump, having been president for 4 years, America is arguably the most separated that it ever has been throughout history. So taking Trump first, up to the final vote, Trump had been accusing and insulting all Democrats. So his summarized ideas during the election were along the lines of, I support all Americans as long as they are Republican. And contrasting to Biden's thoughts that were more in the direction of, I support all Americans no matter what your political beliefs are. So this highlights Biden's attempt at reunifying, no matter what their political beliefs are, reunifying the American country. So since in America there's no middle ground in terms of Republican and Democrat, whether someone's beliefs are suited to either political parties comes down to the individual candidate. So this is likely what has caused many families who find themselves in the middle of the political scale, so Democrat and Republican, to lean towards one side, either Democrat or Republican. So this very likely could force them to contribute to the conflict between the two political parties because they're immersed in that environment. And they could potentially be peer pressured into conforming to the beliefs of that political party. So in conclusion, it will definitely take a long time for Biden to start to resolve the conflict between the two political parties because of the damage that Trump made when in presidency. But I do believe that Biden is the correct person to try to resolve this conflict.
Yeah, following on from what Lewis just says, especially looking at videos and, you know, listening to speeches that Biden made from the past, helps show how he's always pledged quite literally a united state, you know, with no division like there is currently between the Democrats and the Republicans. But because of fake news, and especially because of coronavirus, I'd say the core supporter base for each party has definitely moved to polar opposites, which is definitely dangerous as people become more and more isolated, and it's even more dangerous in a country where guns are legal. However, it seems fine now, the sort of attitudes. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a civil war, and it certainly looked that way, you know, where I was seeing videos of America the day before the election as people were boarding up their shops with cardboard as if a civil war was imminent. But maybe the delay in the election results was a good thing, as it allowed the Republican supporters to process the inevitable defeat to Biden.
Yeah, so now let's focus more about Biden actually winning the election. So I think one of the more challenging problems that Biden will ultimately have to address is the income inequality in the United States, as I think that it's risen to the highest since 50 years, I think. So I think it'll be quite a problem on one hand, with liberals pressing for higher taxes on the rich, and polls actually do suggest this is to be something that's widely supported by the public.
Yep.
But on the other hand, you know, any efforts to increase interest rates will inevitably face a fierce fight from Republicans and business groups, which will just simply express that higher taxes will just hurt the economy. So I think that, you know, with the economy in such a precarious condition, do you think that Biden will continue to push this issue of inequality?
So yeah, I think that's a very good question, especially considering the last president of the United States, Donald Trump. But I think Biden's election will not affect the situation in America as much as some are speculating. With this, I'm referring to Republicans. So this is due to the fact that the American political scale is further right than most other democracies in the world, for example, the UK. So this basically means that in a country like the UK, Biden would not even nearly be considered a radical left, like many of the Republicans are speculating. Most significantly, the increased tax rates, which are what worry the Republican voters the most, very much are clearly in the corporate sector, as well as for those earning more than $400,000 a year. So this will likely lead to a better distribution of income in the United States, as well as not affecting nearly as many people as the Republicans are claiming. So yeah, to address your question, I do believe that Biden will continue pushing for a better social equality for the population. However, I believe that he will be, his policies and his ideas will be limited due to the actions of Donald Trump when he was in presidency.
Yeah, I agree with Lewis, and I think that one of the main reasons why this social equality will be achieved is due to the fact that basically every country around the world is going to increase tax because of coronavirus. And Biden said this in his manifesto, where he said he'll raise estate tax to 45%, as well as increasing tax on anyone who earns $400,000 plus a year. And this plan of his is set to earn the government $3.3 trillion over the next decade. However, this isn't something that makes Biden stand out whatsoever, as basically every country in the world's doing this due to the hit that the economy has taken in the past 6 months, as people are being made redundant and many businesses are being forced to close. And as well as that, most countries have had to increase state spending quite a bit as national health services, like what we have in the UK, has had to buy lots of PPE and lots of other things as well. And the, although the US is obviously private, they've already pledged $1.5 billion on a vaccine, which just shows how they are spending a lot, which means they're going to need to increase tax. And I think that this coronavirus, this like post-economic coronavirus, is going to lead to social equality.
So let's now move on to talking about social issues. With America being a country that's known for its conflicting views on certain social issues like gun control, the LGBTQ plus community, immigration. So how do you think Biden could or would change the views on such ideas?
So yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, in the modern world with awareness on social media, it does form a key part of a country's situation. So Biden, as a politician, has come extremely far in his career. So when he began his political career, he openly stated that he was not in support of same-sex marriage. However, while working as vice president with President Obama, he changed his view on the LGBTQ plus community. And now he strives for an increase in sexuality awareness. Additionally, he now states that members of the LGBTQ plus community will be allowed into the army, which was something that was previously prohibited by President Trump. So just in general, his policies will still change the situation in America in terms of social issues. His views on things such as abortion, immigration, gun policy, the war on drugs, and the LGBTQ plus community will very likely influence and almost inspire many Americans to change their own traditional social views on these issues.
Yeah, and following on from this, I think especially when talking about immigration, it seems that Biden is going to reverse some of Trump's immigration policies, particularly those banning travel from many Muslim majority countries, as well as separating families at the border with Mexico. But this isn't something that can be done immediately. And it's really important to remember that despite how crazy some of these policies may seem to us, tens of millions of Americans are really diehard supporters of this, which helps raise the question previously asked by Edson, which is how will Biden get the balance right of, you know, pleasing the core Republican supporters and accompanied with the Democrats to do with immigration, as he'll need to find the balance.
Yeah, I agree with that. So now let's just move on to the pressing issue of climate change, because we've seen, you know, Donald Trump release many scientifically false claims about global warming. So do you think that Biden will now be able to convince America to take action on climate change?
Well, you know, climate change activists were quite disappointed when Mr. Biden unveiled his first plan to fight climate change. But he's returned with a new proposal, which many people really like. And it can be described as the most ambitious ever put forward by an American presidential candidate ever.
So yeah, this plan included investing $400 billion US dollars in renewable energy research, which with the aim of tightening car pollution regulations, cracking down on multinational corporate polluters, building 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations, and eliminating carbon polluting from power plants by 2035. So he also has the aim of being net zero by 2050. Mr. Biden is essentially proposing to make US electricity production carbon free by 2035, which is alongside his elimination of power plants by 2035. And to also have the country achieve net zero emissions by the middle of the century.
Yeah, so I think it's clear that, you know, this is a tough challenge for Biden to face. Especially if such a ambitious and big plan It's clear, you know, Republicans will warn that this plan will ultimately bury the economy. So I think it'll be tough for Biden to try to address this. But, you know, with the Senate likely to remain in Republican control, how difficult do you guys think it'll be for America to see Biden's proposed legislations passed?
I think it's important to remember that the president has executive power, which is basically something that allows him to veto anything to make his word stand, even vetoing the Senate. And having a Senate not in your favor, something that Obama also struggled with, as he didn't have a majority Democrat Senate for part of his presidency. And this resulted in him using his executive power more than any other president in U.S. presidential history, I think. And I think Biden is gonna act similarly to Obama, as otherwise he'll really struggle to step forward legislations.
So yeah, there is a real, very very, very very real possibility that Mitch McConnell. So yeah, there's a real, very very possible possibility. So there's a possibility that Mitch McConnell could simply block all legislations that Biden attempts to pass, which would be a clear repetition of what happened during Obama's presidency. So there is a chance of some cooperation on things such as stimulus packages, infrastructure investments, and or even climate change. But it could be, but it will be less progressive Democrat-like. So this is due to the fact that following the impact that coronavirus has had on the country of on America, even though Republicans tend to lean towards less government expenditure, I believe that the Republican Party does see that expenditure and support on the economy is necessary moving forward as a country. So it depends on where the Republican Party is heading and how they see the progression of their party. So this means that if the Republican Party thinks that doubling down on so-called neo-Trumpism, which Donald Trump has raised a huge amount of, has spread many ideas on through his large social media platform, if they think that neo-Trumpism is the way forward, then it is likely that no progressive change will come. So Biden is essentially an institutionalist and would very much like to pass his policies through the Senate. However, if he is unable to do this, he will not hold back from doing things through executive order, especially if it's one of his most significant policies.
I think, you know, Donald Trump has forced Biden to, you know, take some big action for the future of America.
Yeah.
And, you know, following in Trump's specifically in Trump's aggressive trade posture, with him alienating a few long-term trade countries. Yeah, so I was wondering with Donald Trump. with Donald Trump ruining some.
He spits it out.
With Donald Trump ruining some relationships with trading partners, do you guys think Biden might be able to change the relationship between China and America?
I think it's quite hard to say. And he hasn't really given that much on the topic of China, and it's mostly just in passing comments. But in the coming weeks, I'm sure that we'll have a better picture of what his foreign policy will look like, particularly with China. But some of the comments he's made suggest that he is going to reverse what Trump's done, as he understands how vital the relationship between the two states is. But he may not reverse all of it, which can be seen by the fact that he was slating China's authoritarian regime.
Yep.
And even called Xi Jinping a thug.
That's very true. I agree.
Oh, that's yeah, so I think Trump has about 60 or 61 days left as president. Do you guys think he'll do anything in particular during this time?
I think that he's gonna... I believe it's actually 61 days, Edson. But
thanks for the correction.
No problem, Edson. Anyway, I think that Trump is gonna try secure his legacy of, you know, quote unquote, bringing his boys home.
Yeah.
And this can be seen by the fact that even yesterday he started pulling out even more troops of Iraq and Afghanistan, and many people are suggesting that he's going to continue with this and take out even more troops. But when presidents are in this awkward time period, they're referred to being called a lame duck, which is basically someone whose successor has already been chosen and is on his way out. And being a lame duck, that means that basically everyone's preparing for the next president and no one really respects the word, which is going to make it really hard for him to push through big policies. And normally what we can expect Trump to do, which is what most lame ducks do, is just spend their time giving out presidential pardons to friends in prison, which means we could see people like Steve Bannon, who was caught nicking millions from a GoFundMe page to help build a wall with Mexico, and probably he'll get a presidential pardon, and if he's lucky, maybe even reality TV star Joe Exotic will get one. I know he asked for one at the end of
I'd love to see that.
The yeah, that'd be awesome.
He really is a Tiger King.
He is for sure. Yeah. So adding on to Francis's points, taking Trump's actions recently into account, it does seem likely that Trump will continue to accuse the election as being fraudulent. Potentially even filing even more lawsuits in the key states that tilted towards Democrat. And he will most likely continue to reject defeat until he is physically removed from the White House. So other than that, it's actually very difficult to tell what Trump's next move will be, apart from continue being a lame duck and giving presidential pardons to celebrities such as Joe Exotic. So will he aim for re-election in 2024 and yet again attempt to simply play to his base? Will he aim to become a major media star and start spreading his political hatred towards Joe Biden to try to stir up conflict throughout the American population and further contribute to the conflict between Democrat versus Republican? The only thing that we can be sure about is that he will not let his large following on social media go to waste. So, just as Francis mentioned earlier, he is a deceivingly clever businessman, and he knows how to use his name to make money and to become more famous. So through his previous actions, such as these, we can be confident that he will continue to aim to be the center of attention, and he will use this center of attention to assert his view on the general American population.
Yes, well said, Lewis. I think that's pretty much it. I want to thank you guys so much for coming in and giving us your insights on this topic.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
And thank you to my co-star, Lewis Baudry.
Cheers.
All right, thank you everyone for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast and learned something from it as well.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Peace out.
Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Peace out.